In the beginning of the Torah, it talks about the creation, and then it culminates with the creation of Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava, in the Garden of Eden. And Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava, are placed in the garden. And then the narrative continues speaking about what happened in the Garden of Eden, that they ate from with the snake, and they ate from the tree of knowledge, and they were, quite simply, on a pshat level, on a literal interpretive level, they were thrown out of Gan Eden. And of course, on a deeper level, Gan Eden is not a place, and you can't be thrown out of Gan Eden. But as the Zohar says, the Gan Eden within them left. So they were physically in the same space, but they weren't mentally and spiritually in the same place. But what's interesting is that in the narrative, where it first talks about Adam and Chava, and then it's going to continue talking about the story with the snake, there's an in-between few verses. And the verses say like this, that there was a river that was flowing in the Garden of Eden. And this river then flew, that was flowing outwards from the Garden of Eden, and it became four, it emerged as four rivers, four heads. And the sequence is as follows. At first it describes the river, the first river, which is called Pishon. And it says that this river of Pishon flows and it surrounds the Eretz Chavila, and it gives exact the geography and the exact location where this river is. The second river, it says its name, it says that its name is Pishon, and it says also where it goes to. And then it says the third river is Chidagel, and just names the river and says where it goes for, but less descriptive. And the fourth river, it just says that the fourth river is called Pras, and that's it. It just says that's the fourth river. So it goes from more descriptive to less descriptive. These four rivers could be understood on multiple levels. They could be understood, but one thing that's interesting about the rivers is that we're talking about four flows, four manifestations that come from one place, and these are all moving outward from the origin, which means that there's a place of origin, and the place of the origin contains all those four. So there are different understandings of what these four could mean. Four can mean also similar to the four elements, the fire, wind, earth, and water, so that everything comes from the original space in Eden, and that it flows into the four, and the rivers represent the different of the four elements. But also water is always in the Torah, is a metaphor for wisdom. So water represents wisdom. Then there's higher waters and upper lowers, which is upper wisdom and lower wisdom, or spiritual wisdom versus scientific wisdom. And so we have this idea of these four rivers, which becomes the four rivers of wisdom. What is these four rivers of wisdom? So the Zohar says that these four rivers correspond to the four levels of interpretation. There's four levels of interpretation. The four levels of interpretation is Pshat, which is literal, Remez, which is hint, Drush is the homiletical, and so does the secret. Now, we would imagine, which is also something to think about, that the four rivers, the river that's closest to Eden would have been the Sod, the secret, then it would have been the Drush, then would have been the Remez, and the river furthest from Eden, the fourth river, which is the least descriptive, would have been the Pshat. But the Zohar actually says that the flow goes from Pshat, Remez, Drush, to Sod. And also in the word Misham Yipared, where it talks about the actual rivers, it says, and from there it becomes Pared, which means it becomes separated, differentiated. The word Pared is Pshat, Remez, Drush. The only word that we're missing to create the word Pshat Remez Drush Sod is a Samach. Pshat Remez Drush, if you would have the Samach, you would create Pardes. So Pardes is the orchard. So the Samach completes the Parad. Meaning the Samach, without the Samach, without the secret, without the depth, without the Kabbalistic, without the spiritual, the deeper interpretation, we're left with four separate, diverse separations. And the flow comes first on a Pshat level and then into a Sod level. So Sod is the furthest removed. Now let's think about these four levels of interpretation and then think about four levels of perception. Now these four also are going to correspond to the four universes. From bottom up, which means from the lowest to the highest, the physical universe is called Olam Asiyah, the place of actualization. The world above this, which doesn't mean literally, it's not a world above this physical world, but it's a higher level of consciousness, is the world of Yetzirah, which is a world of formation. The world deeper within this world of Yetzirah is the world of Bria, which is creation. And that's when the process of creation occurs. And then the highest world is the world of Atzilut, which is the world of one, of unification, of Atzilus. So what you have here is that from the higher to the lower, or from the most inner to the outer, the highest level represents Atzilus, which is creation, but not yet separated. That's what we can call a creation. In this image, what we call Hashem, the source, the light, we don't call God creator, because when we say creator, that implies creation. And the basic definition of creator and creation is that the creator is here, on one spectrum, and the creation is in the other spectrum, and there's a separation between the creator and creation. Now, of course, the creator cares about creation, and the energy of the creator is flowing into the creation, but there's still a creation, which is finite, and time and space. And there's something that's beyond time and space, which is the creator of time and space. In the world of Atzilus, it's called the world of emanation, which is similar to an emanator and an emanation, which means that there is an emanation. So the best metaphor we can think about would be, let's say, like the sun and its sun rays. So the sun is the source. The rays of the sun is what comes from the sun. But we can't actually differentiate between the sun and the sun rays. You take away the sun, there is no rays. Right? And the rays of the sun don't exist only because there is a sun. But if you look, if you're sort of in the orbit of the sun ray, which I guess we're always in that, if we're in that orbit, we feel that as separate or something that comes from something else. But the truth is that it doesn't exist only because of the sun. So this is the world of emanation and emanator. Right. Yeah. So this is the deeper level of creation. This is the world of Atzilus. Okay, so let's understand this in terms of four levels of interpretation. This in terms of text. How do we interpret text and how we relate this to the four? The way we can interpret text, and then we'll try to understand is how we actually interpret this in our own lives. The way we interpret text could be four levels. The first level of interpretation of text is the interpretation of pshat, what it is literally. So you open up, let's say, a text, you open up Chumash, you read what it says, you see what the Torah says, and you're reading, this is what happened, this is the story, pshat. Literal, whatever is presented to you, that's what you're understanding. There's no mystery, there's no hidden agendas, there's no deeper narrative, there's no intention. It's the world of action. It's the world of actualization, it's the world of Asiyah. So the parallel, Pshat, which is the literal interpretation, parallels the world of Asiyah. So if you open a book and you're reading it, and you're saying, okay, so what is the Pshat level, what does it literally mean? So you're saying, there was an Avram, there was a Sarah, this is what happened, this is exactly what I want to know. Okay, this is the story. This is the Pshat, this is the Asiyah, this is the way it's manifest in your reality. Then there's a higher level of interpretation, or a deeper level of interpretation, which is remez. What is the interpretation of remez? Interpretation of remez is to say what this, even though you're reading X, but X implies Y and Z. But it doesn't say, it's implicit. That if you read this statement, you understand that this statement also implies something that came before it and something that's coming afterwards. But in the statement itself, you're only seeing what it is in front of you. I would say that's basically the difference between, more or less the difference between animal consciousness and human consciousness, for the most part. Even though animals do have memory, but not necessarily conscious memory. But let's give this large statement, is that humans have a very strong memory of our past, and we have a very strong imagination about our future. So therefore, human beings suffer a lot because they remember things of the past, and they also have a lot of anxiety because they have things what's going to happen in the future. Someone that lives purely in what is now, and the hay is right in front of the person and in front of the animal, they're eating the hay, they're in bliss because they're not worried about how the hay got there, and not worried that tomorrow's not going to be hay. Now, I'm not saying on an instinctive level, maybe animals hoard their food for the winter, etc., but there's no apprehension and anxiety. Because we're always imagining things for a year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, what's going to happen. So the world of remes is a higher level of development also. This is also because we're not just seeing the thing what it is, but we're seeing where it came from, where it's going towards. Now, this can be positive or negative, but that's not the conversation, whether it's healthy or not healthy, and whether we're seeing this as a positive or negative. We're just saying the concept is that when you see a statement, you see it from its past, its present, and its future. You're seeing the whole totality of the story. That's the remes. It's hinting, it's implicit in another statement, in another event, another situation. That's the level of remes. This corresponds to the world of Yetzirah. Why does it correspond to the world of Yetzirah? Because Yetzirah means formation. What is formation? Formation is when you change one form into another form. Anything in this world that we do, we're only changing forms. If, let's say, I take a piece of wood and make a table out of the wood, I'm just changing the dimensions of the wood. Instead of it looking one way, now it's looking another way. Pure creation, which is from nothingness to create, we can do. All we do in this world is we form things. Some things are very simple. You take one thing and you create another object of it. Some are more complicated. Sometimes we have an idea and we create art or music. But it's still one thing feeding off another thing, feeding off another thing, and that's why we're forming. So formation, the world of formation, is the world where one thing is connected with the other thing, and it's like a chain, right, of events. That this thing, why does this thing happen today? Because something happened yesterday. So let's say we look, well, I just want to understand it in text, and we'll try to understand it in our own life. If you look at something as a text, you're saying, here's this statement, this is formed because of something else. There was a previous Yetzirah, there was a previous formation, now it's formed into another formation, and now there's going to be another child, and there's going to be another formation, and it's constantly forming. This is the world of Yetzirah. The next level is the world and the interpretive level of Drush. Drush is when you take text and you turn it inwards. You say, okay, so I'm reading this statement. There was an Avram, there was a Yitzhak, there was an Abraham, there's Isaac, there's Sarah. These are things that I'm reading. How is it relevant to my life? So the Drush is turning the text inwards and saying, how could I relate to the character of Avram? How could I relate to the character of Yitzhak? What would I do if I was in this situation? Would I do this? Would I do the other thing? I'm trying to understand the text, not just as something that's objective to me, but something that's subjective and something that's teaching me in my life, telling me something what I should be doing. So this is a creative process, because what you're doing is you're taking something that's talking about something nothing relevant to you, or apparently nothing relevant to you, but you're using your creativity as much as possible. Again, it's also the level of form, but some level it's more creative. It's a creative process where you're taking something and you're relating it to yourself. That's the world of Drush, which corresponds to the inner world of Bria. Then there's the world of Atzilus. Atzilus is the world of emanation, which means that everything is a direct reflection of the emanator. The rays of the sun is just a reflection of the sun rays. So when you're looking at something, you're seeing the rays of the sun, but you're saying the rays of the sun is really just a secret that's hiding the sun, which means that it's hiding the source. So I'm looking at this text and I'm seeing it as the mystical, the Kabbalistic, the spiritual, because the physical, the manifestation of what I'm reading, is only just the shell, or what's not hidden. And what I have to do is reveal what is being hidden here and to see what is the inner secret of this text. Now, this structure of these four levels of Pshat, Remez, Drush, Sud, which is the literal, the suggestive, and the personal, and the spiritual, these four correspond to the four rivers, which corresponds to the four universes. And now we're going to correspond them to another framework, which comes from the Baal Shem Tov. It's a little bit of elaboration of the Baal Shem Tov idea of how we're supposed to look at life in general. He talks about this and specifically with the three things, but I'll explain you why actually it's really four. And he talks about this in terms of words, how words contain all these elements. But the truth is that on a deep level, and maybe words is everything because everything is really just a word, on a deep level it refers to everything else. So there are four ways that we can experience life at every moment. One is called Olam, which is world. One is called Olamot, which is Olamos, which is universes. So you have universe, universes. One is called Malachim, which is angels. And one is called Elokut, which is divinity. So you have world, worlds, angels, and divinity. Or universes, universes, angels, and divinity. Okay, let's start with the first thing, and then we'll take it as simple as we can make it. Someone, maybe we use this example. Someone comes over to you and tells you a statement.